السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. وبعد، اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا كثيرا. Welcome back everyone to our resumption of reading the مراقي السعادات of Imam Abu al-Ikhlas al-Shurmbulali rahimahullah. We got up to the makruhat of salah and these disliked elements of salah. So I'm going to read the text and then we're going to go through the yukrahu tarku wajibin aw sunnatin amdan wa abathun bi thawbihi wa badanihi قلب الحصى إلا مر للسجود ركعة الأصابع وتحصر والالتفات برقبته والإيقاع وإفتراش ذراعي وتشمير كمه والصلاة بإزار مع قدرة على ستر على ساتر الجسد كله وكف ثوبه وتدله وتغميض عينيه والتثاؤب وتمطي وتغطية الأنف والفم والسجود على نحو العصابة بجبهته وعلى صورة والصلاة في طريق الحمام ومقبرة وقرب النجاسة وفيه أرض مغصوبة وثوب مغصوبة وبماء مغصوب ومدافعة الأخبثين والريح وثياب المهنة وثوب فيه صورة وكشف الرأس للتذلل وحضرة الطعام وصورة وما تميل إليه النفوس ويكره القيام منفردا خلف صف وعند تنور أو جمر وعند قوم النيام ومسح الجبهة من تراب لا يضره خلال الصلاة. So the Sheikh رحمه الله, he says regarding the dislike aspects of the prayer, يكره ترك واجب أو سنة. Leaving, it is disliked, is makruh tahriman, to leave a mandatory component of the prayer, and leaving, and it is, and one shouldn't leave acts of the sunnah, and if they do, then this, you know, this, if it's done like sort of once, then that's isa'ah, that's committing a wrong action. But it can be considered a sin if one habitually omits doing a sunnah of the prayer. But leaving out a mandatory component of the salah is makruh tahriman. And if one intentionally omits doing a wajib aspect, then they will have to repeat the prayer. He says, "Yukrahu tarku wajibin aw sunnatin amdan." He says, "Wa abath bi thawbihi wa badanihi qalila." If one sort of fiddles around, fidgets with one's garment or body, bi badanihi qalilan, without doing lots of movements. Because excessive movements, amal kathir, would invalidate the prayer. Then he says, وَقَلْبُ الْحَصَى إِلَّا مَرَّ لِلسُّجُودِ. Moving pebbles from when one is praying, pebbles or stones on the ground, except if one does it once when they're going into sujood, into prostration, they just move the pebbles once. But to start, you know, moving pebbles here and there and trying to organize pebbles, you know, while one is praying, while one is going to the act of prostration, you know, this is not permissible at all. Then he says, وَفَرْقَعَتُ الْأَصَابِعِ, to crack one's knuckles. And it's disliked to do that anyway, but not makruh tahrimi. It's not prohibitively dislike, but outside of the salah, generally just a crack your knuckles for no reason is not something that's mildly disliked. One shouldn't do it. Watahassur is when one puts their hands on the hips and, you know, this is makruh tahriman. Wal iltifatu bi raqbatihi, when one turns one's neck completely like that, like at a 45 degrees angle, but your body is remaining towards the Kaaba, you're facing towards the Kaaba, so the body's in the direction of Qibla, but one's whole neck turns, this is this is not permissible. Of course, moving the whole body with the neck would invalidate the salah. Then he says, rahimahullah, wal iqa'u, to sit with one's knees up and one's buttocks on the ground with one's knee pointing the highest, because the knee's bending the highest. And it's almost, you know, sitting like the way a dog sits in its posture. So by keeping your legs close, your knees are close to your chest, and they're bent sideways, they're protruding sideways, and this is not permissible. Then he says, وَإِفْتِرَاشُ ذِرَعِي, to put one's forearms on the ground, so one's elbow to one's wrists, just below the wrists, they are on the ground during the sajda. This is makruh tahriman for men, but of course for the Hanafis, women would put this part of their arm, so from the bottom of the wrist to here, the elbow and above, this part on the ground for men is not permissible to place that when one's going in prostration, but for women this is a sunnah act to do. Then he says, وَتَشْمِيرُ كُمِّهِ, to roll up one's sleeves. This is not permissible. So rolling the sleeves up to the elbows, it shouldn't be done. When in the salah, if one does that, then in salah, one should try and roll it down, but not all at once, because that will be considered to be an excessive movement. Then he says, وَصَّلَاتُهُ بِإِزَارٍ مَعَ قُدْرَتِهِ عَلَى السَّاتِرِ جَسَدْ كُلِّ. He says, regarding men, to pray in only their izar, the lower garment that covers their awra, when they have the ability to cover the whole body. So he says there, وَصَّلَاتُهُ بِإِزَارٍ مَعَ قُدْرَتِهِ عَلَى السَّاتِرِ الْجَسَدِ كُلِّ. So you have the ability to cover all of your body, including the upper part, but you only cover from your navel down to your ankles. You cover your awra. And this is the sign of course, laziness and that you can't be bothered to pray. And this is a lack of respect for the salah, and this is makruh tahrim. وَكَفُّ ثَوْبِهِ وَسَدْلُهُ. Then he says, to gather one's garments up to the body before going into sajda. One shouldn't do that. That is, you know, it's a sign of arrogance when you roll up your clothes and then you go into sajda. وَتَغْمِيضُ عَيْنَيْهِ. To cover one's eyes, the covering one's eyes, the other thing is Oh, sorry, I didn't do the part. وَكَفُّ ثَوْبِهِ, the rolling up one's garments before going into prostration, to the sign of arrogance. وَسَدْلُهُ, to let one's clothes hang over one's shoulder. So without putting it, let's just say you have a jacket or a coat, but you just drape it around your shoulder. You don't thread your arms. You don't put your arms through the sleeve. This is not correct. You let the ends hang down over your shoulder. وَتَغْمِيضُ عَيْنَيْهِ, to close one's eyes, unless, of course, one does it for legitimate reasons. It might be dusty if you're praying outside or something like that. But if it helps you concentrate. Then he says, وَتَثَاءُبُ, to yawn. And it shouldn't be done deliberately, but once you try and prevent one's yawn from exiting the mouth as much as possible to try and contain it. And then he says, "Watamati," stretching. One should try and avoid stretching. You know, these are not proper acts of the prayer. One should try avoid doing that. وَتَغْطِيَةُ الْأَنَفُ وَالْفَمْ, covering one's nose and one's mouth. But except, of course, when you're yawning, because that means you have to cover your nose and your mouth. But this was an issue during COVID when people had to wear face masks. And some of the reasons the scholars mention is because it resembles, of course, the Majus. Then he says, rahimahullah, والسجود على نحو عصابة بجبهته, to prostrate with one's forehead covered, this bit covered completely. This wouldn't be acceptable. But of course, if there's a valid reason, then one, can cover their head if the floor is too hot, or if there's not, you know, there might be some valid reason for why the forehead needs to be covered. The ground might be very rocky and coarse and jagged or something like that. وَعَلَى صُورَةٍ, to prostrate on a picture of an animate being or something like that. This is, the face should not touch that picture that's on the ground because it entails تَعَذِيمُ الصُورَة, veneration of a picture, and it resembles worshipping it. And Salah is worshipping Allah, and it's the total opposite of that when you have a picture of something. That's living. Then he says, وَالصَّلَاةُ فِي طَرِيق وَحَمَّام وَمَقْبَرَ وَقُرْبَ النَّجَاسَ, it is prohibitively disliked to pray in a road, in lavatory, or in a graveyard, or near any filth. The lavatory, of course, is the place of filth. The road is, it blocks and disturbs people because there's traffic, there's murur. And praying in a maqbara resembles, of course, how the Jews and their funeral rites. Then he says, في أرض مغصوبة وثوب مغصوبة وبماء مغصوب, then to pray with garments. Sorry, to pray. Where am I? Yeah. So to pray on land that has been, stolen or usurped, a garment that has been taken unjustly, usurped, or stolen, or bima'in maghsubin, or after one uses water for wudu, where one has stolen that water. This is haram to pray on any land or property that is stolen or usurped, any garment or piece of clothing that one has stolen, which one then wears and performs prayer, or with water that's stolen. So, and then one, you know, does the ritual ablution and prays. These are not permissible. Then he says, وَمُدَافَعَةُ الْأَخْبَثَيْنِ, when you pray, but you're trying to hold back your urge to either urinate or defecate. You want to relieve oneself and you're really struggling and you're trying to hold it and fight it back, and you're praying in that state. In this case, if one is really struggling to hold it back, one should break their prayer and then go and relieve oneself and then come back if they have time to finish the prayer. And Owen says, "What akhbathain wal rih," and he also includes passing gas. You're trying to hold, you're struggling to hold the gas in, and you know, you should just break the salah and then resume the salah again in the salah time. Then to work with thiyab al mahna, if one prays in one's work clothes, one shouldn't do that. Because these clothes are often worn out, they're often scruffy, dirty, and it's not suitable attire. One shouldn't pray in such clothes if one can avoid it. وَثَوْبٍ فِيهِ صُورَةٌ, one shouldn't pray with any piece of clothing with a picture on it of an animate creature, as this would be akin to, you know, carrying an idol and praying with that kind of idol being on oneself. And then he says, وَكَشْفُرْ تَظَلُّ, if one prays with one's head uncovered, then one shouldn't do that, unless, of course, one is not covering one's head out of a sense of humility. And this applies to men only, because women have to ensure that the head is covered for the salah. وَحَضْرَةِ الطَّعَامِ, one shouldn't pray in the presence of food or when food is being served, especially, you know, while one is hungry. Because this is a form of distraction from the prayer. وَحَضْرَةُ الطَّعَامِ وَصُورَةٍ, to pray in the presence of a picture. وَمَا تَمِيلُ إِلَيْهِ النُّفُوسِ, to pray, you know, in the whatever, تَمِيلُ إِلَيْهِ النُّفُوسِ, whatever the sort of whatever makes one inclined towards something, you know, or one sort of diverts or distracts a person, then one shouldn't pray around those things that one gets distracted by. ما تميل إليه النفوس ويكره القيام منفردا خلف الصف, one shouldn't pray in a jama'ah, in a congregational prayer, where one stands by oneself in the row. There's no one else in that row other than oneself. And one shouldn't pray. So if there's a gap in the row, one should try and fill it by taking steps and pauses. وَعِنْدَ التَّنَوُّرْ أَوْ جَمْرٍ, one shouldn't pray near a furnace or an ember. Again, this resembles the worship of Majus, the Magians. But praying near a candle or a lamp, these things aren't don't resemble worship, those who worship fire and things like that. وَقَوْمٍ نِيَامٍ وَعِنْدَ قَوْمٍ نِيَامٍ. One shouldn't pray in the presence of someone sleeping or people sleeping. But, you know, if one is going to be distracted or one's going to feel embarrassed praying in front of people, then one shouldn't pray while they're sleeping. وَمَسْحُ جَبْهَةٍ مِّن تُرَابٍ لَا يَضُرُّهُ خِلَالِ الصَّلَاةِ. To wipe dirt or sweat off one's face that does not distract him during the prayer. Because مَسْحُ الْجَبْهَةِ, wiping your forehead constantly, can be classed as a form of abath, you know, and as sort of pointless act. If it doesn't distract him, like one needs to mop it because it's mop one's brow because it's so hot, let's say, then that's permissible. But constantly doing it, mopping one's brow, and things like that, wiping one's face, sweat off, then this would become a distraction in the prayer. Then he says, Rahimahullah, فَصْلٌ يُسْتَحَبُّ أَنْ يَجْعَلَ لَهُ سُتْرَةً وَيُرَخَّصُ دَفْعَ النَّارِ بِتَسْبِيحٍ أَوْ إِشَارَةٍ وَتَدْفَعُهُ الْمَرْأَةُ بِغَيْرِ صَوْتٍ وَلَا يُكْرَهُ شَدُّ الْوَسَطِ وَتَقَلُّدٌ بِنَحْوِ صَيْفٍ لَمْ يَشْغُلُهُ حَرَكَتُهُ وَتَوَجُّهُ لِمُصْحَفٍ وَسَيْفٍ وَظَهْرَ قَاعِدٍ يَتَحَدَّثُ وَالشَّمْعُ وَسِرَاجٌ وَقَتْلُ حَيَّةٍ وَعَقْرَبٍ خَافَ أَذَاهُمَا بضربات وانحراف عن قبلة وأفضل الصلاة على الأرض وما تنبته ولا بأس بالصلاة على الفرش والبصر. So the Sheikh rahimahullah, he says regarding the sutra or the barrier, يستحب فصل, another chapter, يستحب أن يجعل له سترة. It is recommended for a person to place a barrier, a sutra, in front of him when praying. If one is praying alone, then one should put a barrier, so you know it's to sort of indicate that someone is praying, and for someone and for another person not to pass by that person in prayer. If the imam has a sutra in front of him, then it suffices for the congregation behind the imam. The minimum size of a sutra could be the length of one's forearm, and it should be placed right in front of where one is praying, aligned with the top of the eyes, so the eyebrows. ويستحب أن يجعل له سترة ويرخص دفع المار بتسبيح أو إشارة. If one has got a dispensation or rukhsa to when someone walking in front of a person praying, the person praying has a dispensation or rukhsa to either say Subhanallah or just by gesturing in order to ward off the person passing by. But, you know, we know it's recommended to just let the person just pass by, not ward them off, just allow them to pass through. وَتَدْفَعُهُ الْمَرْأَةُ بِغَيْرِ صَوْتٍ. A woman, if someone passes by in front of a woman and she's in the salah, she can ward them off. She can ward them off, but without raising her voice, but without using her voice. Rather, what she does is she can tap her hands. She can tap her hands just to alert the passerby that she's in the salah. ولا يكره شد الوسط. There is no dislike in tightening one's wasat, one's belt around one's waist. وتقلد بنحو صيف ولم يشغله حركته. There's nothing wrong in strapping a sword or anything like that on one's belt as long as لا يشغله حركته, as long as the movement of that sword doesn't distract or disturb one's praying. There's no harm, ولا يكره, there's no harm for one praying, وتوجه لمصحف, praying towards a copy of the Quran al-Kareem, وسيف, a sword, وظهر قاعد يتحدث, the back of someone, if they're sitting down, even if they happen to be talking to someone, let's say you're in the mosque and you're praying onto the back of someone, and they're sitting down, they're talking to someone next to them. There's nothing wrong with that. وشمعٍ, a candle, وسراجٍ, a lamp. Because these praying next to a candle or a lamp doesn't resemble the people who worship fire. وقتل حية وعقرب خاف أذاهما بضربات انحراف. To kill a snake or a scorpion, if one fears their harm, but one shouldn't use more than a few strikes, two strikes. وانحراف عن القبلة. But if one doesn't get scared of these kind of insects, well, if one doesn't fear any harm, then one shouldn't use excessive movements to kill them. And then one should do it. And it wouldn't even be considered, one should kill those insects, even if, it entails one's salah breaking. So if one is trying to strike these insects and one moves one's torso away from upper body, away from the direction of the salah, the qibla, then that's still, it's fine. One can break one's salah to kill these harmful insects or creatures or reptiles, whatever it might be that happens to be there. As long as the condition is one fears for one's life. Then it says, then he says, rahimahullah, والأفضل الصلاة على الأرض وما تنبته. It is the most, والأفضل, it is more superior to pray on the earth, to pray on the earth. ولا بأس بالصلاة على الفرش والبسط. But it is acceptable to pray on carpets and rugs, but praying directly onto the earth, or ma tumbituhu, or whatever grows from the earth, this is more preferable. But praying on carpets or rugs is absolutely fine. So the Shaykh rahimahullah mentions these matters. Bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, next week what we'll be doing is we'll be discussing about the masail related to breaking the prayer, abandoning the prayer, some masail of the salah of the traveler, the salat al-mariyad, the prayer of the sick person, and some other masail, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. That should take us up to salat al-witr, I think. Unless there's any questions, we will resume bi-idhnillahi ta'ala next week.
Sheikh, I have a quick question, if that's okay.
Oh, okay, please. Tafadhal. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah, Sheikh. Just a quick kind of maybe a point to come out of the preference to pray on the earth. Are we, so if that's the case, are we talking, does that also take into account being preferable to pray closer to the earth? So for the sake of argument, praying on the on the ground floor of a masjid, is that in any way superior to praying on the second floor?
I don't know. I don't know if there's a specific, you know, hukum that says you got to pray like the Dawr al-Ard, the ground floor, than rather than like, you know, the second, like the first floor, the second floor, or something like that. I'll have to check that. Allah knows best.
Jazakallah khair.
Barakallah feek. Here, because it's talking about surfaces, it's not talking about, but I'll check the mas'ala, but here's talking about surfaces.
Yeah, I was just seeing if there was could make some kind of further extrapolation from the kind of preference of surface.
I don't know. Allah knows best. That I can check for you, and we can bring it up on to the next week's session. Bi'idhnillah. For those looking at the makruhat of the salah, and then some permissible aspects of the salah, and then that is where we finished. And inshallah, we'll be looking at, as I said, next week, masail related to when you can break the salah of the traveler, additional masail related to the prayer of the sick person, and then some other masail that will take us up to Salatul Witr, bi-idhnillah ta'ala. Right, if there is no additional questions, we will then resume, bi-idhnillah ta'ala, in our next session. Same time, and I hope to see you then. Wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.